Well, today is a great day for joy and celebration. First and foremost, it's Sunday, and Christ our Lord is risen. And second, we got to be a communal part of the beautiful sacrament of baptism here, and we get to celebrate this new member of God's family. And third, today is Confirmation Sunday, where our confirmands have gone through the semester, and during the Sunday school hour, were confirmed where they profess their faith in Jesus Christ to the whole congregation gathered. And for those that aren't familiar exactly with what confirmation is, it's a rite within the church where confirmands witness to God's work in their lives. They affirm their commitment to Christ and to his holy church, and they are baptized, unless they were already baptized as infants or at any point in their life before Confirmation Sunday. And if that's the case, then they stand in front of everybody and they personally renew and they take full responsibility for the covenant declared over them at their baptism. And the fact that our confirmands this morning were affirming their commitment to Christ and his holy church, that's what led to the inspiration of our scripture passage this morning being preached. And the main theme of Ephesians is God's great plan of salvation revealed, experienced, but also lived out. And the whole letter can be divided in half, with the first three chapters mostly containing theological discussion, and the last three chapters mostly containing explanation on more of the practical expression of the faith lived out in daily life. And Paul writes this letter to direct the church by forming its theology and its practice so that it can accurately reflect Jesus Christ to the world. And our passage today comes after Paul has explained that humanity was spiritually dead in sin from following worldly desires and evil temptations and influences, but because of his great love and mercy, God made us alive and raised us up with Christ to display the greatness of his grace. And Paul explains that our salvation is entirely a gift from God, and it's only received through faith, and it cannot be earned by works. It is purely what God has done for us. And then Paul transitions to explain that Christ has brought salvation to not just the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And this term Gentile just simply means anyone that was not of the Jewish people. And Paul reminds the Gentiles that they were at one time separated from Christ, without hope, and they were without God. Yet through Christ, they have been brought near. All divisions have been removed, and the two groups of people are now made one in Jesus Christ, to make one new humanity, creating reconciliation and ending all hostility. And it is only through Christ, by the Holy Spirit, that all people all over the world are able to have access to the Father. And then in the rest of chapter 2, Paul starts using this construction language, referencing different structure illustrations, referring to the unity of all people in Christ. Paul uses terms like foundation, cornerstone, household, building, and temple. And I want us to take some time to look at these terms through the lens of verse 21. And it starts with the phrase, in him. This phrase emphasizes the centrality of Christ in the life of all believers. It reflects the theology that all spiritual blessings and unity are found in Jesus Christ alone. And this union is foundational for understanding the believer's identity as well as the believer's purpose. Paul states that this household that all of God's people belong to is grounded on the foundation of the message of God that was shared through the apostles and the prophets. And the whole building has Christ as its cornerstone. And Paul uses this illustration that was very familiar from the Old Testament to highlight the fact that a building can only hold together and be built up when it's firmly grounded and in alignment with its chief cornerstone. And in the same way, the church finds its unity, its strength, and the church finds its growth by being firmly rooted in Christ, aligned with his teachings as our chief cornerstone. And this implies that without Christ, everything just falls apart. And then the next phrase that Paul uses is the whole building. And the metaphor of a building is used to describe the whole body of believers around the world. And even though Paul's emphasis in this passage is specifically about the integration of the Jewish people and the Gentiles into one, it's still just as powerful of a statement today that there should be no ethnic or cultural divides within the church, no ethnic or cultural divides within the universal church around the world. All people are of equal value and worth in Jesus Christ and have been brought graciously into this access to God, our Father, by the Holy Spirit, through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Together, and only together, we form one diverse community from every nation and language in which God is so pleased to dwell within. And then Paul uses this phrase, is joined together. This phrase suggests careful and intentional construction, as well as design, as two separate things are brought together and made one, indicating that each believer has not only been brought in, but each believer has a specific place and a purpose within the grand scheme of the whole building. This image of being joined together also calls to mind the work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, shaping us and fitting us to be the image of Christ, chiseling away all the uneven and jagged edges that we have from our old sinful self until that's completely removed. And we are left with the holiness and the righteousness that has been bestowed upon us, not by anything we could do, but simply by God's grace. And also receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be fully in alignment with our cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and also in alignment with our brothers and sisters who were brought into the faith as well, fitting together perfectly in this beautiful harmony. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, names the individual believer as a temple. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, as well as our passage today from Ephesians chapter 2, the emphasis is on the collective. And both are true at the same time. Yes, each individual believer is a temple for God, and all believers as a collective are the temple. But the context here of us all being joined together not only highlights the removal of division between Jew and Gentile, but it also highlights the fact that this is not a privatized faith, where we accept Christ and then go off and try to do life on our own. Unity, as well as holiness, which we'll get to in a minute, aren't suggestions, but unity and holiness are communal responsibilities for Christians. This is one of the main reasons why we have membership vows here within the Global Methodist Church, because we recognize that the most important commitment we can make is first and foremost to Jesus Christ. But it is because of that commitment that we are called to commit to each other, to be made one, to join in unity with brothers and sisters in Christ, to be one church. To be truly joined as one. And then Paul uses this term, the next phrase, and grows, or as our NIV translates, and rises. And the growth of the building signifies the dynamic and the living nature of the church. It's not static, but continually expanding and maturing. And this growth is numerical as more people come to the faith, not for the sake of higher attendance numbers, but simply for the sake of more souls being saved by Jesus Christ. But church, at the same time, this growth is also spiritual as well, as believers grow deeper in their relationship with Christ and with each other. Paul brings up the idea of growth again in chapter 4 of Ephesians, where he expands on what he means by growth and being built up by stating that God has poured out gifts in verses 12 and 13 of Ephesians chapter 4 to equip his people for the work of ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And he continues in verse 15 and 16 saying, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This growth, this building up, this spiritual maturity that Christ has gifted us with and calls us to is for each and every individual person. But we only truly experience the fullest extent of this growth, of this maturity, when it's experienced collectively in the body of believers. As we all come from different backgrounds and share the different gifts that God has blessed us with to build each other up and to be built up ourselves as one church, as one body, as one holy temple in the Lord. And that leads us to the next phrase that Paul uses, to become a holy temple. This temple imagery not only connects us to the Old Testament, but highlights the fact that God desires to dwell with his people. And we see this in the Old Testament in three major areas, in the Garden of Eden, in the Holy Tabernacle, and in the temple in Jerusalem, in the Holy of Holies. But now, with Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we see what the Old Testament prophets were saying about a day that God would draw all people of all nations to himself, and he will dwell with them. The New Testament writers point out that all people that claim Jesus Christ as Lord are now the dwelling place of God through the Spirit. And Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Church, the living God has decided to make his home in the individual hearts and lives, and even more so in the communities of all those that have declared their loyalty to Jesus Christ and commit to living by his message. And then we have this term holy, this holy temple, emphasizes the set apart nature of God's people and how we are called to reflect God's holiness in all aspects of our lives as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ with our words, yes, but also with our actions. As we reflect these things to this sin-filled, broken world and invite them into the mighty work that Jesus has for them. And our last phrase of this verse from verse 21 is, in the Lord. And the verse closing in such a similar way to how it opened just reaffirms that the church's identity and growth is solely based in Christ Jesus. The lordship of Christ is central in all of Ephesians throughout it, and it underscores his authority and his preeminence over the church. The church's existence and its purpose are entirely dependent on its relationship with Jesus Christ. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The physical building is not the temple or the church. The people of Christ are the church. And I hope that this is something that we've heard over and over and over again, that this building is not the church, but we as the people of God are the church. But have we taken the time to really think about what this looks like practically in our lives? My personal first thought of this is the fact that if something terrible were to happen and maybe a fire or a flood comes and makes it just completely impossible for us to meet in this space, we as the church would find a new area to meet in so that we could continue to meet day in and day out worshiping our Lord and Savior. But in reality, I'm just scratching the surface of what it means to be the church with that idea. Something that I want us to all chew on for just a second is, what if our mentality changes from I go to church to I bring the church wherever I go? Whether that be to work, to the grocery store, to your home, and yes, even in traffic. How would your daily life look different? Just chew on that for just a second. Something that might help you answer that question for yourself is to consider what being a holy temple for the Lord really means and what that implies for daily living. Daily, God has called us to holiness. By the example of Jesus Christ and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are able to glorify the Father in seeking to guard our thoughts, our words, and our actions as we live set apart from sin as a holy temple for the Lord in the midst of this world. Daily, God has called us to worship him. Much like the physical temple was a place of worship where songs of praise were sung, prayers were offered up, and the word of God was proclaimed, and animal sacrifices were made to God, we, as the people of God, being built up into a holy temple, should seek daily to praise God, to pray, to read his word every day, and to offer up what Peter calls spiritual sacrifices in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. These sacrifices, including praise to God, but also just obedience to his lordship and his commands over our life, and even just serving him in acts of service to others. And daily, God has called us to unity. We are called to reject division because there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism that we have all been graciously brought into by the grace of God. And church, every stone needs the others to form the whole building. Daily, we're also called to growth. Growth in spiritual maturity, to grow in our faith and to grow deeper in love for God and love for each other. It's more than just growing as individuals. We are called to grow with each other as a community. And lastly, daily, we are called to recognize God's presence. We're called to live with confidence that God is near, that his holy presence is within us, empowering us and guiding us as his church throughout our daily lives, in the midst of all the turmoil that we face in the world. Rest in the fact that God is with us. And church, if we find our purpose and identity as a temple for the Lord, resting in these things daily, we and the people around us are going to be powerfully impacted by the work that God is going to do within us and through us and within those around us. And today, as our confirmands have professed their faith and have said yes to God's invitation to be members of his holy household, I hope it's a powerful reminder to us of God's commitment to us and our commitment to God when we first profess faith in Jesus Christ. God has made you a holy temple. And together, God has made us his holy temple that he is so well pleased to dwell within. Would y'all please join me in prayer? Most gracious God, we can't thank you enough for forgiving us of our many sins, for bringing us near to you, God, into the promises of your covenant, Lord. God, we thank you that you have washed us clean, that you have declared us as holy, bestowing your righteousness on us, not by anything that we could do to earn it, but God, simply through receiving it in faith. God, be with us and remind us daily of your presence. Remind us daily of the growth you have called us to, of your working within us to make us more and more day and day on this journey of sanctification, more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. It's in his most holy and precious name that we pray and give you thanks, God. Amen. As the band plays this next song, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, Pastor Mark and I will be down front, and we would love to have that conversation with you, to receive you and talk about that and celebrate that with you. But if you've already made that commitment to Christ, but you feel called to make the commitment to your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Marvin Methodist Church, Pastor Mark and I would love to receive you into membership here and to celebrate that with you as well. Or if you simply need prayer, come to Pastor Mark and I, come to our prayer support team so that we can pray with you, pray for you, pray over you with whatever needs you want to bring up. We would love to just sit with the Lord, with you in prayer. But now let's stand and sing and worship the Lord our God.